This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a beautiful day to be in the house of God as we begin the season of Advent together. I especially want to welcome you this morning if you're visiting with us. We're so glad that you're here, and we hope that you have a chance to meet the friends sitting around you and that you feel the Spirit of Christ moving in this place. One of our practices as a community is to sign in on the registration pads that are at the end of each row. And if you're sitting toward the aisle, it's probably closest to you. If you would sign those and pass them down the row, and be sure and pay attention to the names of those sitting with you this morning. If there's a name you don't recognize, that's an opportunity to meet someone new and greet them in the Spirit of Christ. If you are visiting with us, we would invite you to come to Reed Hall after the service, which is just out this doorway, and we'll have a welcome desk there and an opportunity to meet some folks who can help you learn a little bit more about our congregation. If you do go out in Reed Hall, I hope everyone will head that way. Our mission market is happening this morning and the next couple of Sundays through Advent, and that's an opportunity for you to do some alternative kinds of giving of gifts that will help those around the world who are in need. So there's more information in your insert. A couple of other announcements. Today, some things going on this evening that we hope you can participate in. Our Advent wreath-making workshop starts at 4 o'clock. Our Bach Oratorio will be at 5 o'clock, and dinner will be served from 5:30 until 7:30. Hopefully you've had a chance to make a reservation for that. Wanted to let you know that if there's overflow parking, our very kind neighbors at Caterpillar across the street this way have opened their parking deck, and that is always open for us on Sunday mornings and special events, so you can park there. This is a season of giving that we're entering into, and we celebrate that our congregation had a goal of sponsoring 25 foster children for this season, and we are actually up to 44 foster children. We've reached our max in what we can do there, so now the greatest need is for the Last Minute Toy Store. And that's a ministry of the United Methodist Church that serves over 5,000 kids in our area, and if you could bring toys and items for teens by next Sunday, that will make a wonderful Christmas for a lot of families. Also, while we're talking about giving and entering into this season of giving, just a couple of reminders for those of you who are members of the church. If you have made an estimate of giving for 2017, or if that you haven't yet completed, or if you find yourself in a position to be able to give a little bit more to help us finish the year strong, that would be wonderful. We have an update in your insert of where we are financially. We have Advent envelopes that will give you an opportunity to make a gift to our general fund. We really want to be able to balance our budget and finish strong, so cheerleading for that. And also, as we look ahead to next year, if you have yet to turn in an estimate of giving for 2018, we would love to receive that from you. It makes a big difference in our ability to be good stewards and to plan for next year. So just a plug for that as well. We begin this season of Advent listening to the voice of the prophet Isaiah. May we hear his voice speaking words into our lives and giving us hope of the Christ who is coming.
Come,
thank you.
In this holy season of Advent, we wait, for the faithful God is coming to us. Now, in this season of waiting, we listen. Now, in the waiting and listening, we watch.
We light this first candle of our Advent wreath as a sign of hope for the coming of Christ into our world. Hear these words from the Psalms. Give ear, O Shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. Stir up your might and come and save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine upon us that we may be saved. Let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, the one whom you made strong for yourself. Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
Like a faded, dried leaf that the wind blows away, our sins dry us up, faded and brittle. We are carried off by the wrongs we have done. Yet God loves us still and is able to restore and renew us with the water of life. Please join me in our prayer of confession. God, with us, even in Advent, we confess that you can seem far away. You seem hidden when we need you near. In our hurt, doubt, and fear, we do not try to draw closer to you. Instead, we lash out against you, our neighbor, even those we love. Forgive us, we pray, and come to save us. Let your face shine until our tears are dried, our sins are faded, and our hope is restored. After all, we belong to you, and in your hands we can be made new. Be assured that hope is coming. The day of the Lord is surely dawning. Thanks be to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you. Let us join together in the Advent prayer for illumination. Holy God, help us to give voice to the wonderful news. You yourself are coming to dwell among us. Quicken our imaginations to find new and creative ways to proclaim Christ's coming. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to all of your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God beside you who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hands of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. The word of God to the people of God. Thanks be to God.
If you were to pick a day this week and go out to Bed Bath & Beyond and choose a customer and ask him or her, what season is this? They would probably look at you like you had two heads, and they would say, it's the Christmas season. Some even call it the Christmas shopping season. We all know it. We're all in the midst of it. We've all found ourselves getting gas or sitting in a restaurant when you hear it's a holly jolly Christmas, silver bells, all of these Christmas songs are piping through the air. People are baking cookies and delivering treats to offices. They're already showing that favorite commercial that I have where the person steps out on their front porch on Christmas morning and there's a Lexus with a bright red bow on it. That's so trite. That happens to everybody. Doesn't it? No. But we come into the sanctuary on this Sunday morning and we don't hear those things and we don't see those things. We process in this morning to a song that is in a minor key and we're singing of longing and waiting. And we're not wearing red and green, we're wearing purple, a color of repentance. And we open the bulletin this morning and see a sermon title, The Prophet's Lament. Well, gee, that's a downer. I'd kind of rather join the party that's going on out there than come in here and hear a lament. Is the Advent season all that different from the Christmas season? It absolutely is. And what we do when we come into worship during this season of the year is very countercultural and opens our eyes and our hearts to experience this season of the year in a different way. And there is absolutely a place in the season of Advent for lament. And I want to talk about that in just a moment. But first, I want to consider this prophet and what exactly is going on in his world that calls him to cry out to God. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. The book of Isaiah is a long one, 66 chapters. And most scholars believe that it spans the history of Israel for decades, if not centuries. The first part of the book, the first 39 chapters, probably take place when Israel is still in the Promised Land. And it's those chapters are full of warning and judgment. The people are not being faithful. They're worshiping other gods. They have forgotten the poor, the widow, and the orphan. And the prophet is warning them that the day of judgment is coming. And then sometime after chapter 39, the dark day comes. And the Babylonian army comes into the land and destroys the temple, leaves rubble wherever they go, and they drag out many of the Israelites into exile in Babylon. And so then the word of the prophet changes, and perhaps even the prophet himself is a different prophet, and begins to speak words of comfort and hope and promise that one day they will be restored to the land, they will be restored and saved. And when we get to this moment in chapter 64, the prophet speaks for the people, perhaps who have returned or are beginning to return to the land, only to find it in total destruction. The temple is a heap of boulders. The people are scattered. And they look to God and say, "Where are you? You have turned your face away from us. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down and fix all of this. Save us, O God." That is the prophet's lament. Do we not know what that feels like? Haven't you and I been in a place in our lives where we have said, "God, where are you? God, come down and fix this. Make this all right. Save us. Save me, please, God." Some of us may be in a place in a season of lament, even today. We're looking at a holiday season when there will be an empty chair around the Christmas tree. It wasn't empty last year. Or some of us have received a diagnosis that has taken our breath away, and we're facing a long battle and we're not sure where God is. Some of us are watching the frenzy of buying and gift giving, and we look at our own bank account and don't even know how we're going to pay the bills. Others of us can't explain it. We know we should be happy. We know we should feel festive, but we just don't. And that depression and anxiety gets worse in the dark months. Others of us may look around at our world and our culture and lament all that is going on and the divisiveness and worry and anxiety for the poor and the vulnerable. And we don't know what to do about it. And all of us want to cry out, "Oh God, help us and save us." And that is a good place to start the season of Advent. Because, you see, when we can look around and say to God, in all honesty, "I am not as I should be. We are not as we should be. All is not right with the world. God, we need your help." We can come into this place on Sunday morning, this first Sunday of Advent, and admit to ourselves that we need a Savior. And our world needs a Savior. And then we can lift up our heads in hope and expectation when we hear the good news that the Savior is coming. That good news is even found in this prophet's lament. He cries out to God, "Fix us, God, come and save us, make the mountains shake. You have forgotten us, face is turned away." And yet, there's this three-letter word in verse 8, yet, and everything turns on that word. Yet, O God, you are our Father. You are the potter and we are the clay. We belong to you. And in the verses that follow right after this chapter, God speaks and says, "Here I am. I've been here all along. I have never stopped reaching out to you." And then later in the chapter, God says, "Just wait. I am about to do something new." Now we, as Christians, believe that what God did to fulfill that promise was come into the world as a tiny, vulnerable, poor little baby. The people had cried out for God to shake the mountains and to tear open the heavens, but that's not how God answered their prayer. God came in vulnerable love and weakness. And so when we find ourselves in a place of lament, when we cry out and we want God to come and save us, we need to make sure our eyes are open to the ways that God will and has saved us. Probably not with the mountain shaking, or from the seats of power or the halls of Congress. Our salvation will not come in a Lexus in the driveway with a red bow on it. Our salvation will not come because we have a family gathering that is free of conflict. Our salvation comes in the love of God offered to us in a small child born to be one of us. Christ is coming. Vulnerable love is on its way to save us. May God give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to welcome that good news.
As we come to this time in our service, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have a prayer request that you would like to share, please fill out the gray card that you'll find in the pew rack, and you can put that card in the offering plate when they're passed in a few minutes. Please indicate if you would like your prayer concern to be shared or you want it to be kept confidential. We offer our sympathy to Debbie, Tim, and Caitlin Ferguson, who are mourning the death of Debbie's father, N.C. Parker, who died November 5th in Brewston, Tennessee. Also to Ingram Howard and his family, who are mourning the death of his mother, Ruth Broadway Howard, who died November 18th in Memphis, Tennessee. Services were held there on November 21st. We also offer our sympathy to Sandy Gregory and her family, who are mourning the death of her brother, David A. Keaton, who died November 24th. Services were held in Parsons, Tennessee on November 27th. And to Kirby and Ann Davis, who are mourning the death of Kirby's mother, Barbara Tomlinson Davis, who died Wednesday, November 29th. She is survived also by her granddaughters, Kate Lemons and Laura Davis, and her great-granddaughters, Livy and Kirby Grace Lemons. Services will be held today at First Baptist Church in downtown Nashville at 1:30 p.m. Visitation precedes the service beginning at noon. The memorial service for Mike Linseth will be held this Friday, December 8th at noon. Visitation will take place prior to the service beginning at 10:30 in Reed Hall. And the memorial service for Dr. Ewart Watts will be held this Saturday, December 9th at 2 p.m. in the sanctuary. Visitation will take place following the service in Reed Hall. And now, in response to the generosity of God, let us continue in worship through the giving of God's tithes and our offerings.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent in the fullness of time to be a light to the nations. You scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts, and have mercy on those who fear you from generation to generation. You put down the mighty from their thrones and exalt those of low degree. You fill the hungry with good things, and the rich you send empty away. Your own Son came among us as a servant to be Emmanuel, your presence with us. He humbled himself in obedience to your will and freely accepted death on a cross. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and then gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Thank you.
now with the confidence of God's children, let us pray together the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. A simple and humble loaf of bread becomes the body of Christ, the bread of life. And an ordinary cup of wine becomes the blood of Christ, a means of grace for us and all the world. As we prepare to serve those who are serving, just a word about receiving communion together in this place, especially if this is your first time to receive communion in this congregation. This is an open table, and all who are here, regardless of your age or faith background, are invited to come forward and receive. We will invite those who are in the balcony to come after the choir has received, then those in the transept, and finally the rest who are in the primary part of the sanctuary. You will kneel at the altar rails and lay your hands open, and that will be a sign to your servers that you have yet to receive. After receiving, you're welcome to stay at the altar rails as long as you would like. If you need gluten-free elements, they will be available. Kaylee will be serving those close to the lectern. Our practice is to make a gift to the missions of this congregation every time we come to the table. And our mission of the month is our Wesley Foundations, our college ministries in the Nashville area. So if you would like to give a gift to support that very important ministry, the plates are in front of you as you come. And now let us receive the grace, gather at the table as Christ's people, and take his life into our own.
Thank you.
Let us pray together. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. Amen. We have heard the good news this day that Christ has come, Christ is coming, and Christ will come into our lives and into this world. May we go to shine that light of hope to all in Christ's peace. Amen.
Rejoice.